You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
That's right, it's time once again for that most anticipated hour or so on the internet. It's supposed to be an hour. Very seldom is it just an hour. It winds up being an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. I can feel poor Sven cringing now. It's like, make it an hour, you bloody lampshade. But it is the most anticipated hour by me. I anticipate this hour of the internet probably more than anybody, but the rest of y'all may be like, I guess I'll listen to the Lampshade Show. There's nothing else going on. No, of course, everybody anticipates this hour or so on the internet. That's right. It's the Church of the Lampshade Show. Wait is over, installment number 54. It's already that time, folks. And of course, we're looking forward to a thought-provoking, so inspiring, uplifting conversation this week, as we do every week. And speaking of as we do every week, we always like to start off recognizing those who support the show. We've got 6 show supporters this week, including 1 Bitcoin Ain't On. So say right off the bat, thank you very much, Bitcoin Ain't On. And as always, we like to get started off in the listener supporter mailbag. Remember, if you want to be a part of that, and I highly encourage you to do, as we have now adopted for our shekel grubbing slogan, don't be shy, pay those tithes. That's right. We started that last week. By we, I mean me. The rest of y'all are probably like cringing. You shekel grubbing lampshade. But anyway, it's 6 supporters, including Bitcoin Anon. You want in on that? That info is at the bottom of the page. We've got the ever reliable-ish snail mail. We've got Bitcoin. And if you have some other kind of weirdo cryptocurrency, I'm not proud. I'll take your ox. I will take your stellar lumens, because I'm just not prideful. I will take your Monero. But you'll probably need to shoot me an email, and I'll get you an address for those other weirdo cryptocurrencies. Speaking of that, the email's at the bottom of the page as well. Everything you need is on this page, including the show itself. And as I say, we always like to start off with the ever interesting listener supporter mailbag. And I love this, because this is stuff I don't have to think up on my own. You know, what are we going to talk about today? I get to eat up some of the show, and I don't even have to come up with the ideas of what we're going to talk about. So yeah, always fun, always appreciated. This has become one of the more fun parts of the show. Let's be honest, the whole show is fun, but let's get right to it. And of course, the other fun thing about it is this way everybody knows that their stuff came through. They don't have to send me an email going, I sent you a envelope the other day. Did you get it? You know, so this way, you know, it came through. We've got support coming through this week from Arthur. Very much appreciated. I mean, again, like this morning, I sit here and it's like, okay, I start getting all my stuff together. And one of the things I have to do as part of my ritual is I go through this week's mail, supporter mail, you know, and I read through these as I get them kind of put in order and how I want to do it, and kind of just glance over. And it really kind of gets, it's part of what gets me motivated. It's part of what makes this an anticipated hour-ish on the internet. Make the show an hour, you bloody lampshade. I can't sound like Sven. I apologies from here to Sven for my horrible accent attempt here. Next up, from Debbie, Grandpa Lampshade, hope this finds you well. Love the show. I agree about debt. People don't understand the Federal Reserve. And with the Fed, if there is no debt, there is no money. We need to get rid of the Fed. And once the petrodollar falls, it will be ugly. I am debt-free, with house paid for, old cars. My newest is an 01. Oldest is a 78. By the way, I just love to have me an old 78 Chevrolet pickup. I love that old square body style. Sorry, getting off on a tangent. Let's see. My dad was a cash man. He built his own houses and lives debt-free. Thanks for the shows. Appreciate it, and prayers with you, Debbie. Yeah, you know, the thing is that what people don't realize, you know, because everybody has this mindset that, you know, you've got to make a lot of money to survive. You know, you've got to make a lot of money to just make ends meet in this world. And to an extent, that's true. But to another extent, the reason that is because everybody's in debt. If, you know, I always look at it like when you're paying a bill off, like say you have a $400 a month car payment. We'll just grab it. You're not going to go buy a new car with a $400 a month car payment. Let's just say you have a $400 a month car payment. And finally, that day comes and you pay that car off. You know, you just gave yourself a $400 a month raise. In current modern day America, what are the odds that your employer is going to give you a $400 a month raise? It isn't going to happen. You might get a nickel if you're lucky, but you can give yourself a $400 a month raise when you finally pay that off. And it's amazing how many people don't do that, though. I mean, you know, they'll be 6 months away from paying the car off, and what do? Run out. There ain't nothing wrong with the car, but they're just tired of it. Want something new, and they'll go trade that thing in and go get another car and sign up for another 5, 6, hell, I don't know how long they're going on car notes now. Yeah, 5, 6, 7 year long car note. Just keep me in debt. Keep me in slavery. You can give yourself a $400 a month car payment when you're blessed enough to have your home paid for. You know, people are paying outrageous amounts a month, depending on where you live, on their mortgages or on rent or something. And that, and You can give yourself, the point is, if you can find a way, and it's hard, I understand it's hard, but if you can find a way to be debt free, you know, you don't have to make a huge amount of money to make ends meet and even, you know, live well and be able to afford to do some extra things. It really is enslaving. And you're right. People don't understand the Federal Reserve. They don't. Anytime you hear a normie spout off the government just printing money, you know, you're dealing with somebody that has no concept. They don't even understand. They spend their whole life slaving around for money, and they don't even understand how it works. They don't even understand the fundamental concept of how, I mean, forget, you know, getting into, well, money circulates because loans have to be borrowed and it has to be borrowed into existence. It doesn't matter how much money they print, they can't put it in. Forget all of that. They think the government owns the Fed because it says federal in it. It must be the federal government. It's those damn demon rats, you know. So they don't. They don't understand. And it's funny because when you bring up the Federal Reserve, I'm reminded how many people in our circles these days in the dissident right, you know, back in 12 or so back, you know, 2012 or so back, you know, we're in the Ron Paul thing. We're Ron Paul supporters. I'm always reminded of how many people, and that's why you get people, talk to people in the dissident right, and they'll be like, the Federal Reserve. And it's like, oh, you another one of them Ron Paul people. Hey, been there. You know, we were there. You know, it's, you know, because at least they understand the lie that is our debt-based system, you know, the facade, the charade of our debt-based monetary system, you know, where your average normicon will just sit there and say, the government, they just printing off the money. They have this idea that they're just running the printing presses. You love that? They're running the print presses 24/7. It's like the amount they have to print is minuscule. The amount they move around on computers is just, it's huge. It's overwhelming. It's mind-blowing. Next up, let's keep on rocking here. Next up in the listener supporter mailbag, we've got Jackie. Grandpa Lampshade, big congrats on a full year of Church of the Lampshade. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the latest episode on the slave mentality. Your shows get uploaded on my quote-unquote Friday, so this show was perfectly timed and badly needed at the end of what has been an especially blackpilling work week. I've watched my healthcare discipline go from actual healthcare, i.e. keeping people from needing to go to the hospital, to a shekel-grubbing Jew mentality of fill them beds, which inevitably entails lots of needless testing and giving people the quote-unquote tools they need to continue in a slovenly lifestyle instead of putting them on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Healthcare in America. Anyway, just wanted to say how much your message hit home this week. And I'm sure I speak for countless listeners when I say that your laid-back style, no-nonsense delivery have really come into their own and are very much needed and look forward to in this fallen world we find ourselves in. Please don't ever stop. Kindest regards, Jackie. Very much appreciated. And yeah, you know, the healthcare system is another one of those cases where people, you get, whenever you talk about healthcare in America, you have people that are stuck in this false paradigm. You know, they think the only choices is a government run healthcare or the current shekel grubbing healthcare. That's it. You have to choose. You only get those two choices. It's so frustrating. You know, when you're talking to, just normie, NPC people, that they are stuck in this mentality. I mean, on the one hand, you have like the Bernie type supporters, and they sit there, we just need government run healthcare. We got to have a government single payer healthcare, blah, 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 blah. You know, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, without acknowledging the shortcomings in such a system. And just as an easy highlight of that, I saw a story here a while back that in Britain, you know, the National Healthcare Service announced that basically they don't have to treat people who are bigots and bad thinkers and maybe racist. They don't have to treat them. So you can be, yes, that's right. Now, not only do you get the pleasure of you can lose your job for being a bad thinker, you could just get sick and die and they can sit there and let you die because you're a bad thinker. You know, we'll rush you into the emergency room. Sorry, this guy's been labeled a bad thinker. We're not, how far away are we from where they make you wear a badge around bad thinker? That way, if you go into a healthcare, you go in to get your healthcare in Britain, they can just say, nope, sorry, you could just die. But hey, it's okay. We're not killing you directly. We're just refusing to treat you. It's kind of like how they tell us, you know, the government isn't shutting down your freedom of speech. Twitter and Facebook are. So it's okay. It's okay. Then on the flip side of that, you have normicons, NPCs, who will sit there and America's got the best healthcare system in the world. You know, like with these rose-colored glasses, blinders on. You know, and I don't want to... And of course, extra lulls is when it's boomers that enjoy, you know, the Medicare rates. We don't need no government-run health care. Does it work for you okay? Yeah, I go to the doctor all the time. How do you afford it? Well, I'm on Medicare. But you have people that are stuck in the, you know, everything's perfect with the American healthcare system. No, the American healthcare system is great as long as you're rich. If you don't have the money, don't get sick. Don't get hurt. And people are stuck in this false either or choice. And some of us are old enough to remember when it wasn't that way. Some of us remember when you could go to the doctor, even if you had to get admitted to the hospital, it didn't mean financial ruin. Virtually, I can guarantee you probably 90% of the people listening to this show, including your host, if something happened and you were admitted to the hospital, you might as well be already looking for a bankruptcy lawyer because you're not going to be able to afford it. Couple nights in the hospital, you're probably pushing, you know, $50,000 or more dollars, depending on where you're at, where you live, or how many tests they run on you, regardless of if you need them or not. It's just, you know, it used to not be that way. I remember when it wasn't that way, but it's that way now. And yet people are stuck in this either or choice. We got to have some communist system of government dictated healthcare, or you have the corporatocracy shekel grubbing system that we have now. And you just, you know, unless you're wealthy, then screw you, don't get sick. Otherwise, you can just, you know, die, go somewhere and die. And it doesn't have to be that way. This is silly. There are countless other possibilities that can be implemented, but we don't even consider those, do we? It's funny when you have the Team D's, the Democrats, like with Obamacare, you know, and they talk about healthcare reform. They're going to reform healthcare. But nobody, whether it's Team D or Team R, nobody ever talks about how come corporate healthcare gets to run the prices up and nobody says anything. Why do they get to just charge to infinity? Why do the pharmaceutical companies get to charge multiple times more for the same prescriptions that they're selling in other countries at a minuscule fraction of that price? And they're not losing money at that small price that they're charging. Why do they get away with that here? You know, nobody will talk about it. You know, they'll talk about insurance. Virtually every politician that talks about healthcare reform, they're talking about insurance reform. We need to find a way to make healthcare insurance more affordable for everybody. No, the problem is not insurance. The problem is the cost of the services period. And don't get me wrong, I hate insurance companies because they're part of the corporatocracy as well. But in this instance, they're kind of the guys in the middle. They're kind of, everybody blames the insurance companies, but it's like, well, the insurance companies have to take into account that every year healthcare goes up probably about 8%. And yet they have to charge more and they're kind of being pushed in the middle in this instance. Again, I have like zero sympathy for them, but in this case, they are kind of the guys in the middle. And nobody will address why the spiraling costs. It's a mystery. Why is it like this? It's a mystery. It's like when Merkel in Germany or one of these countries in Europe that is just flooded their country with the Middle East and Africa. They sit there and say, why do we have this tension among our population? Why is extreme? Why are we having these random attacks, you know, these terrorist attacks? And why is it that like the people are all angry? We don't understand. It's a complete mystery. Well, let's see. Before you imported a million people from the third world, everything was pretty quiet. And then after you did that, everything has kind of gone to shit. So I don't know. I'm just a simple guy here, but I'm going to say that maybe there is a connection here. This isn't a complete mystery. You go back 30 years and healthcare was pretty affordable and pretty easy to get along. Why is it not that way now? But you're not supposed to remember that far back. You're supposed to not think about another choice. Your choice is government, commie, dictated healthcare, or just, you know, keep feeding the machine, keep feeding the shekel-grubbing healthcare. Next up, Mr. T. Hope this ties, helps the Great Church of the Lampshade. Always does, believe me. I have no idea. It's all part of the big scheme, the big plan, holding everything together. And finally, as we wrap up the listener supporter mailbag, get me some more coffee here in a minute. This is from Rock Dad. Grandpa Lampshade, love what you said about the usury debt system in installment number 52. Makes total sense why the Jews declared war on Nazi Germany after the National Socialist government went to a debt-free system after they gained power. One thing I've learned about the Jews over the years is they seem to lose their minds if they can't control the money. This would also explain why the words Hitler and Nazi are the worst words in the dictionary. The National Socialists showed the world a better economic system, and the rest of the goy might find out. So the Jews have had to tell the rest of the goy how evil Hitler and the Nazis are. I know your show is Christian-based, and I always get something from the Christian message. However, it just seems like the answer to so many problems created by the Jews, which is probable, like 95% of the world's problems could be resolved, if countries and societies would go to a National Socialist system of government and economics. Just like Christ is the cure for the devil, National Socialism is the cure against the Jews. Lastly, and I've said it before, I'm just constantly amazed at how stupid people are. When you show them the truth about the Jews and how ridiculous their claims of anti-Semitism are, I don't believe there is any hope for most people. The brainwashing is too deep. Sorry about the modest donation. I will try to send more shekels soon. Sincerely, Rock Dad. Well, the last part I got a problem with, because you should never apologize for supporting the show. And I do mean that. We have, you know, lots and lots of people that do listen to the show. And that's not bragging. It's just a fact. The numbers are a lot. And there's a modest few of you that send support. So never, ever apologize. I'm not expecting huge amounts in. So, very much appreciated. So, yeah, you know, no, it's once again, it's a case with most people that they're stuck, just as we talked about with the healthcare system. You know, here in America today, they're stuck in this. You have the current usury debt system, or you could have communism. That is the false choices being pushed by and large politically today. The idea that there could be any other way, any other direction. It's just beyond the grasp of most people. The problem arises in, just as you've pointed out, people are brainwashed. If you've been doing this any amount of time, and I know you have, at the minute you try to explain, say, National Socialism, within less than a minute, you're going to be doing what? You're going to be having to deal with the 6 million. and the Holocaust story. You can't ever get to explaining the economics of it. You know, you never get to that. I mean, it's simply a form of government. It doesn't equal the Holocaust. It doesn't equal the 6 million. But that's inevitably where it turns. And you're right. It is a very, very, I would say, the most successful brainwashing program, you know, ever carried out on a large scale. It's quite honestly really impressive. Well, as far as, you know, the fixation with money, that's because money is power. If you have money, you have power. And it is just that simple. And the more money you have, the more power you have. And, you know, of course, there are limits to that. There's always going to be somebody who has more money than you, and they'll be thus more powerful than you. Like, take Harvey Weinstein, for instance. I don't know who he pissed off, but he pissed off somebody who was more powerful than him. And now look at him. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he did or who it was, but he pissed somebody off that was, you know, a bigger fish in the pond than he is. But you take your average NBC and you say, if money, and you say that money is power, then you would ask, who's the most powerful? Your average NPC is going to answer the government, because, look, the government has all of this money. But just as Debbie was referring to the Fed earlier, the government spends a huge amount of money every year, which they borrow from the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the federal government. The Federal Reserve is owned by the big banks. You can, if I had an echo effect here, I would add the echo effect to the word big, to the term big banks. So the big banks actually are the ones that are more powerful than the government, because they're the ones the government has to go to borrow the money. Doesn't that make sense? We talk about this being a Christian-centered show. You know, the scripture says, you know, the borrower is subject to the lender. You are subject to the lender. If you, the person who is borrowing, having to borrow the shekels, is subject to the one who is lending them, because the one who is lending them in has power over them. And the government goes and borrows money every year, and the average NPC thinks this means the government's somehow like borrowing it from themselves. No, they're borrowing it from the big banks. So the government in this is the borrower, and they are subject to the lender, and the lender is the big banks. It's a biblical truth, because it reflects the natural order. The borrower is subject to the lender. The lender is the one in a higher position of power. The government has all this money. Yes, they have a huge amount of money that they borrow, which means somebody else is more powerful because they borrowed it from them. They borrowed it from the big banks. And the neat cool thing as part of this scam for the big banks is they don't really even have to have any money. They just have to have you borrow it. Oh, we've got an order for borrow. The government's going to borrow $1 trillion this year for their latest pointless, stupid war. Tap around on the computer. Boom, the money's created. It's really, in the end, nothing out of their pocket. It's a great scam. I've given up on trying to explain National Socialism to people. I've given up, not the principles. I've just given up on hanging that tag on it, because you winds up into a stupid, pointless discussion, the 6 millionth discussion about the stupid freaking Holocaust. So instead, I will just talk about, like, you know, economic system, the economic aspects of it. You know, why can't we have a system where it works like this, where our money is based on something besides debt? Why can't we have a system to where there is a clear hierarchy of authority? And that way, like, if you're dealing with your local, you know, bureau of whatever, and you feel like they're screwing you around, you know, you don't have to be clueless as to who's in charge of that, because there's a clear hierarchy of authority. Who's in charge? You know who's in charge for that stuff in your area, and ultimately your state, and ultimately it goes to a leader at the top. What's so wrong with that? Yeah, and people will be accepting of that. But as soon as you say the National Socialism word, they run backwards, and you're sucked into a pointless conversation trying to explain the Holocaust. And that brainwashing just runs too deep. As always, once again, as we wrap up the listener supporter mailbag, it's all good stuff. Really do appreciate it, and really do enjoy hearing from all of you. Is one thing that I can say. It's like the the pregame hype. You know, when I'm getting ready for the show, I get everything out and sort it out. And, yeah, I heard from this person again. Oh, look, what do they got to say? You know, oh, well, I'll use this part or I'll read the whole thing. Or, you know, sometimes I have to cut stuff down to be, you know, more brief or to the point, you know. Or if I feel like somebody's saying something that's a little too personal information, that, you know, I'll kind of try to have to, you know, figure that out, you know. But I always look forward to it, and it's always a lot of fun. So, again, I appreciate it. Appreciate the financial support. It means more to me than y'all know. So, you know, y'all are a special group, those that financially support the show. And again, if you want to be a part of that, information's at the bottom of the page. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We're going to wrap on into our regular, just kind of general discussion here. I'm looking at the clock, and obviously, once again, we're going to run late. I can tell it. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. But hey, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Yeah, I was posting on Gab early in this week some points about this. I was just sitting here, though, thinking about, you know, living here in the land of the free, here in America, where we don't have all of this, we don't have an oppressive government. We have a government that's for the people, you know, by the people. They work for us. How many times do you hear the patriot, quote unquote, patriot people say that they need to be reminded that they work for us? What delusional world do these people live in? That they actually still cling to the fantasy that they work for us. America's just like the book Animal Farm. It really is. And yet, you know, the other animals eventually caught on to the pig scheme, you know? I mean, they eventually caught on, but not here. Here, they're just like, oh, no, we're all equal or whatever. The politicians work for us. Here in America, this isn't one of them countries like China. And it's all so silly. Every person in Congress, every congressman lies to the people. Every one of them. Every one of them when they're came, but they all lie. It's a joke. I mean, if you sit there, I don't care how much of a naive person somebody is, if you walked up and said, I've got some news for you, and be like, what? Look around. You know your politicians, your congressmen? Yeah. What about it? They lie to you. They would be like, yeah, and water's wet. I mean, it's just, this is not breaking news to anybody. This is a common known fact. Everybody knows it. Everybody accepts it. When they're running for office, they're going to promise you the sky and they're going to deliver zero. So where am I going with this? You can be sent to prison, though, for lying to Congress. They just sentenced this Roger Stone guy for supposedly lying to Congress. So we live in, we're supposedly, they work for us, right? The average patriotard will tell you, they work for us. Hey, these politicians need to be reminded that we're the boss. It's America. But they're not. You're just denying the reality. They do not work for you. If this was a hierarchy to where you, the voters, the people, are above them, the politician, then they would be the ones going to prison for lying to you. But that's not the way it works. They lie to you and everybody just nods and accepts it and say, well, that's just the way it is. But if you go to before Congress and they say, oh, well, you were being untruthful, no matter how hard they have to stretch it to come to that conclusion, you get to go to prison for lying to them. They lie to you daily. That's a-okay. But if you lie to them, you go to jail. But we don't live in any sort of authoritarian regime, right? We live in a world where the government works for us. The people are in charge because the democracy, because the democracies, which is just most definitely our values, right? It's breathtaking. And the stuff isn't that hard to notice. You know, I mean, we notice these things. I notice these things. It's not like I'm some evil genius or something. This is right out there in the open. This is what it is. And yet people still choose to live in denial of this reality. The government doesn't work for you. The politicians don't work for you. You are not in charge. You know, just accept it. I've accepted it. I don't have any illusions that the government is subservient to me. If the government was subservient to me, they'd be worried about me putting them in prison. But they're not. They would be the ones picking and choosing their words to make sure nothing's phrased in an incorrect way that could be deemed, if you stood on your head, to be like somehow maybe illegal. You know, that it is what it is. You just have to accept that reality. I get frustrated. Well, I guess I don't. It just exasperated. Maybe that's a better term with people that choose to live in this denial, that choose to live in this fantasy. Imagine if you went to work and acted like your boss worked for you. Look here, buddy, I'm in charge. Like, what? I'm your boss. Shut the hell up, you know. But that's how our society works. Everybody goes around under this delusion that the government works for them. And yet they lie to you. It's A-okay. It's even people make jokes about it because it's such common knowledge. But if you lie before them and their stupid committees, you go to prison. It's more ridiculous than Animal Farm. Speaking of ridiculous, you know, Trump and his tweets. I kind of agree with Attorney General Barr. Just shut the hell up with your damn tweets. And because really, who the hell is he even tweeting to? You know, I mean, he puts these tweets out here, and yet, you know, everybody, it's like he still thinks it's 2016. You know, it's like, I've got news for you. All of your supporters, you know, that pushed your campaign over the top in 2016 via social media, like Twitter, they've all been banned. They've all been banned off Twitter. They've all been banned off of YouTube. They've been banned off of Facebook forever. They're all over there. If they're on social media, they're probably on Gab. And who's going to notice that? But he's on Twitter. Who's he tweeting to? Commies? They hate him. I wish Twitter would ban him. I think it would be hilarious. I think it would be absolutely hilarious if Twitter would ban him. If there's a petition for Twitter to ban Trump, I would sign it just because it would be lousy. All of your supporters have been banned. Why shouldn't the guy at the top be banned as well? Who's he tweeting to? He sat by. Everybody, you know, got banned. All of his supporters have been banned. Oh, that's right, because all of his supporters are supposedly neo-Nazi, white supremacist, racist, blah, blah, blah. And like a typical boomer normicon, he accepts the left's definition of terms. I don't want to be associated with those kind of people. Now, everybody is that now. Who's been banned? Oh, Fuentes got banned off of YouTube. That True News, banned, you know. Alex Jones, Alex, the Saudis secretly run Hollywood, and all of this is a global conspiracy by Nazis. Alex Jones, he's been banned. Everybody's been banned. Everybody that's not a shill for the globalist, for the establishment, everybody has been banned. And yeah, you got Trump out here putting out tweets. It's who's he even tweeting to? I don't know. Does he know? Does he care? It's like he thinks he's going to rally the meme warriors from 2016 on Twitter. You wonder if he's sitting there looking at his feed going, you know, I can't do a Trump voice. I'm sorry, you know, but pondering, you know, it's like, why do the memes suck now? Where are all those good memes? My supporters always had the best memes back in 2016. Because they're all banned. They're all banned. And there was basically nothing. You didn't even care. In fact, you came out here a while back and said MAGA now means what? Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon? And when you say, tell people that they live in a corporatocracy, that you sit there, what do you mean? Huh? It's America. The politicians work for us, the voters, the people. You got Trump out there. He's like the most populist candidate in years. You know, and now his key slogan is Mike stands for Microsoft, Apple, Google, Amazon. Welcome to the corporatocracy. You think you're important? You think the politicians answer to you? Trump sat back and watched all of his supporters be banned from the very platforms they used to catapult him over the top in 2016. And it's like, he doesn't care. I think as a boomer, he doesn't grasp it. I think he just doesn't really grasp the internet. He's still, even though he knows that people putting up memes and having fun on social media is this driving energy, was the driving force that put him over the top in 2016. You could tell there's like this hint that he still thinks he's got to go through the media somehow, even though he's like attacking the media and says he hates the media. Still, you can tell that he thinks that they somehow are the avenue. I'm going to get to the people via Fox News. Fox News? What the hell? That's the mindset. Everybody's been banned. Who are you tweeting to? Where's this energy going to come from that's going to catapult you to the top in 2020? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know where he is. The only thing he kind of doesn't have to worry about is the laughable line of candidates that Team D has put forth. It's a laughable lineup of candidates. You just look at them. This is a joke. That's what's going to, if anything's going to put him over the top, it's just that I don't know if Team D's even trying. Maybe they just want to have four more years of holding hearings. They're already warming up the Russian hacking hoax again. I mean, they're already coming up with their excuses for their next loss. Maybe they're just going to run the clock out for demographics. It's like, what the hell? We'll leave Trump in there another 4 years. He can give more trillions of dollars to Israel, maybe build them some new walls and just let them go ahead and just march on over the Palestinians. And then, then with the demographics and all, we won't even have to try. We just go ahead and, I don't know, establish our communist utopia or some shit. I just really am weary of politics. I really am. I mean, I'm interested in speaking the truth, whether it pertains to politics or religion or people, just whatever the case may be. I'm interested in speaking the truth to these things and trying to figure out how things work and stuff. But beyond that, I'm just weary with it. You know, again, the fact remains, in my opinion, that we just wait for this clown show to collapse. You know, and we try to at least get people informed enough that maybe we could come up with something better afterwards. But this notion that we're going to save the current system or we're going to find some salvation in the current system is silly. This notion that you're going to like somehow forcefully like overthrow the current system is silly and honestly pointless because the current system is busy killing itself. It's eating itself. It's imploding on itself. I don't know why you think you have to do anything in that regards. I'm just interested in seeking the truth because I really do. I get sick of the politics stuff. It's right out there. And at this point, it's so obvious that if people don't want to see it, they just have chosen to not see it. If somebody has chosen not to see the truth, they have made a willful decision to turn a blind eye to the truth. You're not going to convince them of anything. You know, I mean, how are you going to convince people that have just simply made a conscientious decision to ignore the truth and go with a fantasy world? You're not going to reach those people. They have chosen, and it's so out in the open. I don't know how you don't get it at this point. How do you not get it? It all seems pointless. I'm getting to where I just, I mean, yes, I still keep up with it. And I guess to an extent, I do still find it interesting, but I'm weary of it. I don't go on about it like I used to because it's all pointless. It's all pointless. The current system is just it's eating itself. And we'll keep pointing out the truths and speaking the truths. And who knows? Maybe we'll come up with something better. I don't know. Fighting over the inevitable. You know, it's like I always say, the clown car has already gone over the cliff. We're just waiting to see who crawls out of the wreckage at the bottom. I mean, what's the point of having a big fight in the clown car on the way down? You know, you best be putting on your seatbelt and just trying to figure out how maybe to survive this thing. I mean, really, the rest of it is just seems kind of pointless. You know, we were talking a lot of positive feedback. Several of the listener supporters this week bring up the Slave Mentality show. And we've had a lot of positive feedback on that show. It's always nice, you know, nice to know the show doesn't suck. It was a good show. And I was reflecting on that because, I've had quite a few people reach out and say that they enjoyed the Slave Mentality show. And when you start looking for one of the interesting things about that show is it got me to thinking and I start considering how the slave mentality is reflected in other aspects of this society. Take marriage, for instance. when you talk about marriage, and I will sit here, for instance, and say marriage, the institution of marriage, should be... No, I'm not saying that you're a slave to your wife. That's not the slave mentality I'm going for here. I will say the institution of marriage needs to be returned to the church. It is in the hands of the government. You have to go to the government to get permission to get married, don't you? You don't go to the church. Church might perform the ceremony. They might not. A judge might do it, or justice of the peace, or a lesbian feminist quote unquote pastor may perform the ceremony. But you go to the government and you get a license and you get permission to have that ceremony. I would say that when marriage was handled simply by the church, it was better. We need to get back to that. Marriage is a religious union. It is a union between a man and a woman, and it is a union that you supposedly, a vow you take before God. You're supposed to have man, woman, Christ, all that put together. No, we haven't started the church segment yet. Stick with me on this. We're talking about slave mentality 2.0. We're talking about another example of it. I will say these things, and you will have people, and I'm not talking about like normie people. I'm talking about people in the dissident right. People who will sit here and go on and on about, you know, how awful marriage is and how these women just are destroying men's lives and they're just horrible. Don't get married. Oh, my gosh, the worst thing you can do is get married. Oh, because these skanks will ruin you and all they are is here to suck the life force out of you. On and on and on and on. And I'll say, well, yeah, it's because we need to get marriage back in the hands of the church and not in the hands of the government. And these very same people will sit here and come back and say, well, yeah, but what about in a divorce? You know, how are you going to separate property? There's where the problem arises. It's the slave mentality. Yes, yeah, I'm complaining nonstop about a system that robs me and strips me of my property if I get divorced. Okay, well, yeah, how about going to a system that doesn't do that? But how are you going to divide the property? Slave mentality. They're stuck in that paradigm that has been dictated to them. And they're raging about everything. They're raging about the situation. They see it to the extent that it is. But when you say, well, yeah, but it wasn't that way when the church handled that. Well, yeah, but what about how are you going to divide the property when people get divorced? Who gives a shit? It's supposed to be a union between a man and a woman before God. Who gives a shit about the property? Yeah, but a woman could wind up with nothing. Then you're on the current system. Then you are on the status quo train. Quit sitting here bitching about you don't like the status quo train and oh, this is horrible and divorce rape and all of this shit. If somebody sits there and says, well, yeah, we didn't have that when the church took care of it, but what are you? How are you going to divide the property? How about you don't? You know, how about let the church do? I don't know. Seriously. How about, yeah, it's, yeah. But it's that slave mentality. We've got to have the government. The government's got to do it because you've got to divide the property when it inevitably doesn't work out. The current system is so shit that anything I think would be better. I think we should bring back arranged marriages. I really do. I think we should bring back arranged marriages. Maybe if people didn't have the exit option of the government was going to so fairly handle that property division, you know, maybe they wouldn't be so quick to consider that bailing out option. Ever think of that? As I've said before, in a short term, if we're going to leave this under the government's control and marriage is going to be treated as a horribly written open contract, but a legally binding contract nonetheless, then it's all backwards. The lawyers should be involved before the wedding, not after. The lawyers should be involved before the wedding, writing out the terms of this contract very specifically. That's the ludicrousy of this curse. How are you going to divide the property if the church handles marriage? Well, yeah, see, the current system, the property division, it's all figured out because marriage is treated as a legally binding contract, and yet there's no terms in the contract. It's no terms in the contract. But yet when it doesn't work out and you want to break the contract, you go before a judge because you've given the government authority over marriage now, and you go before a judge and they have nothing to work with. And you wonder why it doesn't work out in your favor. It's a contract with no specific terms. It's stupid. If I gave you a contract, I came to you with a written contract to go into business partners with, that was that open-ended, you would run away as quickly as you could. You wouldn't even have to consult a lawyer. You'd look at this and be like, well, there's no terms to this contract. Under what terms is the contract considered null and void? What do you have to do to be considered fulfilling your end of the bargain, your terms of the contract? What's expected from each party? There's nothing in it. How are you going to divide the property if you break the contract? The contract's worthless now. What we have now is it's treated as a legally binding contract that has no terms in it. I would love to see, well, I wouldn't love to see, because again, it just needs to be returned to the church. But people obviously aren't going to go with that. So I say, if we're going to treat it, and this is a repeat, by the way, we've discussed this before on the show, but it's worth repeating. If it's going to be treated as legally binding, I'd like to see lawyers involved beforehand. You want to talk about get to know somebody? You know, they say you never divorce the same person you married, and it's true. Can you imagine, you know, when the blushing bride, it's her day, the groom, he's just a prop, and she cares not what the wedding costs. Can you imagine, okay, we're getting married in 6 months, she's picking out that wedding dress, and oh, this, she's in as a bridesmaid. She's out as a bridesmaid. It's my day. It's my day to be the princess, to be the center of attention where everybody stands and stares at me as I am a princess being walked down the aisle. But it's 6 months away, so this is the part where he brings his lawyers to meet with your lawyers, and they start hammering out terms of the contract. You imagine you're sitting there going, yeah, she the one. I could see myself spending my entire life with her. She's the perfect one for me. She's special. And then your lawyer gets back to you and says, okay, well, I met with her lawyers, and the term she wants for this contract is basically you have to agree to make this amount of money a year. You have to agree to provide her with a new car this many years. And if for any reason she decides to terminate the contract, she wants the house. If you have any kids, she wants kids, and she wants you to pay her $1,000 per month for eternity to support the children afterwards. And there's no reason, you know, anytime she wants to, you would be like, what? Tell that bitch and her lawyers where to go. I'm out of here. It's just, it would be lousy, but people would know the truth. Yeah. Yeah. On the woman's side, you know, well, yeah, I'm planning my wedding day. Oh, that's my lawyer calling. I got to make sure the contract. Yes. How's the contract going? Well, he says that as part of his contract, he wants a strange piece of ass every 3 years. And you will agree to never nag about him drinking every day. And she'd be like, what? I mean, I want my special day, but I don't think I want it that bad. Nail out the contract terms. If you're going to treat it like, put it out there. The lawyers now are all getting rich on the divorce end of it, because that's why these things take forever, because there's no specifics in the contract. Hell, that would be preferable to what we have. But the point, to get back to the point, because we did start with a point. It's hard to believe, but we did originally start with a point here. The point is that people have that slave mentality even with that. They'll sit here and bitch and moan about the current system. And when you say, well, the way to go is the way it used to be, where marriage was just simply handled by the church. And they can't fathom it. They can't grasp the idea. It can't be. How would you handle property division in a divorce? They've already accepted the terms. They've already accepted the terms, the definition of inevitability, the definition of how things have to be by the current order. Is it just another example of the slave mentality? Okay, we've rambled enough here, and we're going to get way long if we don't get into our Christian-specific segment this week. So get on in here, fill those pews. We are preparing for the ever-anticipated Christian-specific message here at the Church of the Lampshade. Get on in here, fill those pews. It's time. It's time. I'm getting my, I'm getting my Reverend Lampshade vibe on. I'm getting that vibe going here. So get in here and get comfy. Let's do this. And as we settle in here for a Christian-specific message, I think part of what got this going to mind is just inevitably, as you're out and about on the internets, even in the social media wasteland that is known as Gab, you're inevitably going to see someone with their spurg points of Christianity is a just, it's designed to keep you subservient to the Jews. It's always been a tricky plot. It's, of course, the reasoning behind this is that apparently it was like a time release plot. It took thousands of years to come to fruition, but it was a secret plot. Never mind that the early churches, were the originators of the idea of making Jews wear special articles of clothing so that Christians would know what they were dealing with. No, Hitler didn't come up with that idea. That was actually a ripoff of one of the old Christian ideas. You have to make Jews wear a certain type of article of clothing so that when a Christian's dealing with them in business practices or things such as that, they would know who they're dealing with. But never mind, the church did all that because it was actually a secret plot. They're like, well, we can go ahead and crack down on these Jews and make them wear pointy hats now. But 500 or so years from now, then we hatch the plot to create the modern cut church and get everybody to send money to the nation state of Israel that doesn't exist yet. It's a silly, and it's always, I guess, because they're going to somehow create an atheist utopia, based on what? Yeah, we're gonna bring people together under the banner of there's nothing. We are it. Man is the ultimate of everything. Yeah, so there is no right or wrong then. Well, of course there is. Well, why? Who decides what's right or wrong? Society. Where does that come from? Okay, so society decides that the current order is the best way. Who are we to argue with it? Society has decided that, the current world you live in, under the democracy system, that's the way to go. It's with society, so that should be your values too. No, I'm going to create my utopia of believing in nothing. Or the pagan utopia, which you might as well, I don't understand the pagan thing. And I don't dog on the pagans too much because honestly, I have pagans that listen to the show. And most of them, we get along pretty well. I don't dog them. And they, most of them don't dog me. Some of them do. But that's okay. But I really don't get it because you might as well just start a new religion from scratch. Because people don't know anything about these ancient gods of the Aryan man. They don't know anything about these things. Maybe it's just me. Maybe because I'm coming from a kind of a cynical standpoint that I figure that folks are just like, anything's got to be better than the Jewish trick religion of Christianity. We'll get them to go back to worshiping the Aryan gods of all. You might as well start a new religion. The church of what's happening now. Which, you might as well just come up with a brand new religion because you're going to have to re-educate the entire society on these ancient gods. And like 99%, by the way, I've noticed that like 99% of the people that run around, I'm a proud pagan. I worship the ancient gods of my ancestors. It's like, okay, well, tell me the details. What do these gods do? What are they? It's like, well, didn't you see the Marvel movie? I mean, it's like they don't really know anything, really about the substance of it. They just know that it's not Christianity because Christianity is part of that secret plot to get everybody ensnared because apparently the modern cut church is Christianity. And but this kind of got me thinking and talking about Christianity and like a verification of Christianity. And I think I'll make this clear as we go on. I'm leaving that kind of open-ended with the idea that we're going to go through these points. And it's like an interesting movie or something. You may be kind of lost through part of this. But then at the end, when all the twists and I bring everything together and the plot lines all come together, you'll be like, the light will go off and you'll be like, oh, hallelujah, look at what this lampshade did. Or you may just be lost and be like, what the hell was that? What the hell was this week's message even about? I don't know. We're going to try to do it. So just bear with me. As always, we like to throw some scripture in. For this week, we're going to do 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we're going to start at verse 6 to, as usual, verse 6 to whenever I feel like stopping. And this is, let's see here. Yeah, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, writing in this instance. And by the way, we're rocking the new international version this week because I'm kind of feeling lazy and I don't feel like stumbling around with the these and the thous. And we can definitely make our point that we want to make this week with that. So, without further ado, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 through whenever the hell I'm tired of talking. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, the non-believer will read these passages here and say, well, see, once again, Christianity is promoting you to be a doormat. You're supposed to delight in people treating you like crap, you know, insulting you, persecuting you. It's like you're a masochist. Christianity is a masochist religion, and you just spit on me some more. Just stomp on my face some more. It feels so good. It feels so good to just treat me horribly because of Jesus. It's sickening. It's not what's being said here. And I think we can make an interesting illustration out of this. Paul says he's given a messenger of Satan, a thorn in his side, sent to torment him. We're not told what this is, what this actual thing is that he's dealing with. I have no idea. It doesn't tell us. It was a personal thing. And it really isn't any of our business, but it is important that it's highlighted here, and we're going to talk about why that's important. It was something bad. This wasn't like, oh, I've got a problem, like, you know, I catch myself cussing once in a while. I mean, this wasn't a minor thing. This is something that was tormenting him. The word torment is used too. This was a severe thing. Now, why would God do that? Why would God allow? And then he says he's prayed to God. And this is a guy that, he's performing miracles. He's going around doing miracles and he prays to God. So like he has like a direct line to God, like nobody else. Like the rest of us maybe wish we had. There's a direct line to God. And he prays to God, Lord, take this away from me. I'm being tormented by this thing. Whatever it is, it's bad. Whatever he was dealing with, whatever he was wrestling with, whatever was stabbing him in the side and constantly tormenting him, it was bad. And what does God tell him? What does Christ tell him? My strength is sufficient for you. No. In other words, there's a nice way of saying God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Congrats. That seems kind of mean, doesn't it? Why wouldn't he? I mean, why would God let Paul be tormented like this? This is not understanding. It's hard to understand, isn't it? What's up, God? Why would God take somebody like Paul and he's prayed 3 times because this thing is tormenting him that he's wrestling with? This thing that he is struggling with, that he's trying to overcome. Yeah, he's going around at the same time. He's doing miracles and he's preaching things and people are coming and accepting the gospel and these people are getting baptized. And then he's off by himself and he's being tormented by this, whatever it is. We're not told what it is. Doesn't matter. Direct line to God. He picks up the God hotline. Picks up the God red phone. And says, Lord, I'm doing all these things for you. I'm doing these things. I'm glad to do this. I'm willing to take whatever, you know, these insults, this persecution. Just take away this thorn that is tormenting me. It's getting in my way. I want to be tormented. And it was, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. He didn't say he's taking it away. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. What's that even supposed to mean? Why would God not take it away? Is God being mean here? Why would God let Paul be tormented by whatever this thing is? Well, the answer is right there. We've already been through it. Paul laid this out because he is performing these miracles, because he is experiencing these revelations, visions that nobody else has ever seen. He's seeing these amazing things. He's performing these amazing miracles. He's spreading this the gospel, and people are believing, and these amazing miraculous things are happening around him. That is why he has to have this torment. You're sitting here going, I know, I can feel you. I can feel you through the microphone. I can feel you through this computer right now. You're sitting there going, that doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Because there has to be balance. In the natural order of things, we talk a lot about the natural order, don't we? The natural order. And what is one of the fundamental aspects of the natural order is that there has to be balance. There has to, our current clown world is clownish because things are out of balance right now. This is why we have confidence that things are going to get, it's probably going to be very unpleasant, because the more out of balance they get, nature doesn't care if like billions of people die. It doesn't. It's a emotionless automated system that returns things into balance. The natural order is created by God, so he doesn't have to micromanage what happens on Earth on a mass scale. Sometimes he gets interested in something and intervenes or does something or gives someone a vision, you know, things like that. But he doesn't manage the whole environment, the environment of society. The natural order is all about balance. Even a non-believer that does grasp the idea of the natural order gets this. The natural order is about balance. Satan is about imbalance, because imbalance brings chaos. The Creator is about balance and order. This is why, because for the very reason that Paul was doing these amazing miracles, he was having these never seen before revelations. He was doing something that hadn't ever been done before. This is why he was being tormented. You see, because it had to be in balance. He can't just be going out and doing these amazing things and there's no counter to that, because then there's no balance. Then nature is out of balance the other direction. You see what I'm saying? Do you follow me here? Viewed from this, balance is restored. And viewed through this, Christianity is in tune. It is in line with the natural order. You see, because the natural order despises and cannot live within balance. The natural order has got to be a state of balance. If you were going to have somebody running around performing great miracles and seeing things that have never been seen before and doing things that have never been done before, it just makes sense that there's going to be something to balance that out. And thus, whatever this is that Paul was tormented with, he had to pay that price, so as to speak. And that price is to keep things in balance, that the natural order is being reflected here. And this is a confirmation that Christianity is not just some made up trickery. It's not just some stupid thing designed by the Jews or man or whoever. It's not a delusion in people's heads. It's a confirmation of its reality, of its truth, because it is in balance with the natural order. It wasn't just willy-nilly getting to do these great things and there's no price to be paid. That's why it's important that this is spelled out for us. That's why it is here. That's why Paul tells us about it. That's what he's telling us about right here. Goes through all of these things. It's in order. For every miracle he performs, there's persecution, insults, threats from the authorities. For every truth he speaks, more of the same. For every amazing vision of things to come that he's not sharing, that God has chosen to give him, there's this torment, this thorn in his side. You could also look at the fundamental central aspect of your belief system as a Christian believer is centered around what? Christ crucified. Why? So that your sins could be forgiven. But why? God is omnipotent, isn't he? Why would God have to create his only son, have his only son come to earth to be tortured to death to pay for your sins? If he's omnipotent, why can't he just say, well, I'm just going to change the rules here. And you know what? Y'all are all forgiven no matter what you do. I'm just going to let everybody into heaven. It's the wow. Yeah, looky here. Now you have a god of the modern cuck church all of a sudden, where everybody's forgiven no matter what and nobody's going to hell. And you're saved no matter what. Why? What is the point? Why would he have to send Christ? Why would Christ have to go to the cross? Price has to be paid. See, God is about justice, but he is also about balance. You take the most pure being that has ever stepped foot on this earth in the form of a man, in Jesus Christ. He gets tortured to death in a most brutal fashion. People skim through and talk about Christ on the cross, and I'm washed clean in the blood. Oh, Jesus on the cross. The Calvary's all about victory. And how many people ever actually stop to ponder that he was tortured to death? He took those stripes for my sin. Your skin, you are being whipped and your flesh is flying off. You're losing pounds of weight because your skin is coming off because they're whipping you. And then you're in a bloody heap and they shove a crown of thorns on your head. Then they drive nails and spikes through your heart, or through your hands and your feet, and leave you to lay there and slowly die out in the sun. I mean, people gloss through that. Christ died for my sins. Yeah, he was tortured to death. It's not like, well, it was an instant thing. We give convicted mass murderers a more merciful execution today. We put them to sleep. We give them these drugs. Hell, a firing squad would be more merciful. Hanging. You know, you put you up on the gallows, put a noose around your neck. That is more merciful than how Christ was executed. He was tortured to death to intentionally die slowly. Why? Because God is about justice, yes, but he's also about balance. It cannot contradict the natural order. The natural order is about balance. If you were going to have a price paid so that people in faith and repentance that believe in his name, i.e. who he is, can be forgiven of their sins can be washed away, and they can have everlasting life. There has to be something to counter that. And this has got to cover a whole lot of people. This isn't something that can be covered by just anybody going through it. It has to be covered by somebody who never sinned. It has to be covered. The price has to be paid by somebody who literally raised the dead, who performed miracles, who demonstrated godliness on this earth. You see, because balance has to be there. You can't just willy-nilly. If God just said, well, everybody's forgiven now, I ain't sending no sacrifice. Everybody's forgiven. Everybody, there's no balance there. And there's no justice. And that falls out of line with the natural order. And it wouldn't be proven to be true because it's out of line with the natural order. But that is not what we see here. We see a horrific, there is a reason it was a horrific sacrifice. It was a torture to death. It wasn't a painless, slipping off to sleep sort of death. It was a horrible, torturous death. Why? Because a big price is being paid for a lot of people. So you have to have balance. In these things, and the point of what we're looking at here is in these things, Christianity, Christ himself, what Paul is talking about here, all of these things, when you bump together, what did we see here? It lines up with these concepts, these principles of the natural order. The principle of balance that is central to the natural order. You know, the scripture tells us you will know them by their works. And one of the things that you can take confidence in your beliefs as a Christian believer is the fact that you know what you believe is real because it lines up with the natural order. If you're following this belief system and you looked around, it's like it's not in line with the natural order of things, then you would be right to question this belief system. You'd be sitting here questioning it because it's like, well, here's the natural order, but what I believe in, these central tenets to my faith do not line up with the natural order. A modern cuck church that says Jesus loves everybody and nobody's going to get sent to hell because Jesus is love and he can't send anybody to hell. Hell doesn't exist. It's figment imagination. We know this isn't real because it does not line up with the natural order of things. this notion that everybody's wheat and there are no weeds, there are no tares, everybody's going to heaven, no matter how atrocious they are, no matter how wicked they may be. It's out of balance with the natural order. It offends our very sense of justice, because that part of us that is in tune with the natural order is offended by it, because it's out of balance. How can justice itself is about balance. You know, this is where an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth comes. It's about, you know, reaffirming the notion of balance. Justice is about balance. If you have people who are mass killers and but they're going to go to heaven without any repentance, without any anything, just they get to go because God is love. That offends our sense of justice. But where does that sense of justice come from? It is that part of us that's just in tune with the natural order of things. And the natural order of things says, no, there has to be justice. People cannot commit these wicked deeds. You cannot go around murdering people and then just get away with it and then just turn a blind eye to it. Why? Because it puts things out of balance, out of tune with the natural order. A man and a woman complement one another, not because they're the same, but because they are different. It keeps things in balance. Men are wired different than women. Of course they are. That's what keeps things in balance. That's why the notion of the gay marriage stuff is so offensive. It goes beyond simply the mechanics of it and the morality of it. It offends you because it is out of balance with the natural order of things, and that instinctual part of you, which is in tune with the natural, that spiritual part of you, which is in tune with the natural order, says, this isn't in balance. This is offensive to me because it is out of balance. As we wrap up, and we do have to wrap up, because as usual, we're running long. But as we wrap up, you have to remember, again, that Satan, because he is at war with God, you know, he is on this fallen earth, you know, doing the things he does. He is by extension at war with the natural order, because that is what the system that God has put in place to keep things in balance on this earth. So since he is at war with the natural order of things, he is about what? Imbalance. Because as we've already covered here, I beat this horse to death. The natural order is about balance. So it just goes to reason that Satan is about imbalance. He is about chaos, because balance brings order. If everything's in balance, you have an orderly world. Things work in an orderly fashion. Things work as they should. When things get out of balance, everything gets out of whack and things become chaotic. And that's what Satan is all about. He is about chaos. He is about chaos because he is about imbalance, because he is at war with the natural order. And everybody looks around. Non-believers look around, scratch their head, and say, why is everything so crazy in clown world? It's because Satan is at war with the natural order. People, by their sinful natures, yeah, they will fight against the natural order as well. But generally speaking, it's limited in scope. But as we are in these end days, Satan is doubling down. He's pushing really hard here. He's making that final push over the finish line. So we're seeing this huge push against the natural order. And what do we see as a result? Imbalance, more chaos, more clown world. It's really, when you look at it in that context, it's not surprising. In fact, it's to be expected, isn't it? If you are a Christian believer, I assume you are, because you stayed tuned for the Christian specific message. If you're a Christian believer, take confidence in the fact that what you believe perfectly lines up with the natural order of things. It is yet another sign. It is yet another reassurance that God is giving you that you are on the right path, that you are not believing in simple empty words. You're not believing in empty emotionalism. You're not being tricked. It's not trickery. It's verified by the way it lines up with the natural order. Likewise, if things are out of balance in your life, you know, you always say, you know, have faith because God is on your side. But understand, if things are out of balance in your life and you're continually struggling, you know, think of your struggle as a way to get, say, think you're going through a really bad patch, you know, hard times, whether they're financial or whatever the case may be. God is on your side in the sense that as long as you were pushing to try to get your life back in balance, then the natural order is on your side, because the natural order wants things to be in balance. Yes, even in your life. So in this aspect, in this respect, you know, God is on your side. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily micromanaging what you do, but you have the system, you have the force of the natural order of things that is just by its definition wanting to put things back in balance. So if your life is out of balance on the shitty side, then then, you know, as long as you're trying to push things back in balance, you have that behind you. You know, it's easy to get black pills. It's easy to get discouraged when you're going through hard times. We all go through them. Then, you know, you take some heart to understand that your life is bad right now. It's out of balance bad. But then that means it's out of balance with the natural order. So as you try to get your life better, which means you're trying to get things back in balance, natural order is behind you. Things shouldn't stay out of balance. Natural order is on your side. And thus, in that way, God also is on your side. Likewise, if you're having a just exceptionally good sign, you know, good thing, your life is just exceptionally good. You're just living high on the hog. Everything is just so good. Don't be shocked if something unpleasant, some sort of trouble comes your way. Because once again, everything, this is the natural order. There is going to be balance there, and you just have to find that balance and then try to stay as much in that balance as you can. And that's why you take the good times as they come. But don't be shocked when the bad times come around, and when the bad times get really bad, they're not going to last forever. You have to have faith. You have to have confidence. You have to keep striving, because things are out of balance. They should push back towards that center, towards the balance of the natural order. We got to wrap up on that note. Hopefully this gives you something to think about and some confidence in your faith when naysayers try to say that your beliefs are just made up mumbo jumbo. You believe in just a make-believe being, and this is just something designed to trick you. It's a big trickery. You're just falling for a big trick. Just take some confidence. Your belief system, everything in your scripture, it's all lined up with the natural order of things. This is your confirmation. This is one more thing you can do to take to bolster and strengthen your faith. We'll wrap up on that note. Once again, thank you to the financial supporters of the show. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. The information's in the shekel shilling intensifies. We'll wrap up that. Thank you all for coming and joining us this week. A week will fly by. You know it will. And we'll be back here next Tuesday for the Church of the Lampshade.